grown up. My big brother! And she held her arms out to Orso. Come all the way to Sapani just to visit me. Carlot, bloody hell, it's good to see you. And it was. She was a grown woman, of course, with a definite hint of their father about her strong cleft chin, but all he could see was the girl who used to chase him around the palace gardens in happier times. He hugged her tight and held her head against his shoulder and had to manfully fight down a sudden urge to cry. She frowned as she held him out at arm's length. You look a little pale. Rough seas on the way over, he lied. Being king suits me. She saw right through him, as always. It never suited father. It ground all the fun out of him. Well, I'm not him, though he feared, in fact, he might be. It's brought out the responsible servant of the people in me. Who would have thought you were hiding one of those? She lowered her voice. You must tell me what urgent business has dragged the King of the Union across the Circle Sea. I would if I could. Let me help also. I do nothing here but choose wallpaper. And you've done a simply marvellous job of it, he said, glancing admiringly about the room. You must choose some for me. She punched him on the arm. Come on, I never get any bloody excitement. He wanted to tell her how much trouble he was in, to moan that his subjects were united only in contempt for their king, to blurt out that a conspiracy was building against him, to say how lonely he was. But it would have been selfishness. What could she do about any of it? He made himself smile. It's all very boring. Nothing you need to worry about. Not there with the boxes, over there! The familiar sound of their mother scolding the servants echoed from the hallway. And for the fate's sakes, have a care! Carlot puffed out her cheeks. You've brought me plenty to worry about already. Couldn't you have got pregnant or something? Murmured Orso from the corner of his mouth. That would have been a perfect diversion. My womb does not exist so you can distract our mother. A sentence I had hoped I would never have to utter. She grinned as she nudged Orso in the ribs. It isn't for lack of trying, I can tell you. Sotty's quite exhausted with his nightly efforts. For a big man, he's surprisingly agile. Sotty was Carlot's name for her husband, Chancellor Sartorius, something like the 15th ruler of Sapani to bear the name, only a few years younger than Orso's mother, and probably twice the weight. He could be something of a bore, but he doted on Carlot and had one of the best sellers in the world, so he was all right as far as Orso was concerned. The image of the Chancellor's nightly efforts with his sister was not one he wanted to be haunted by, however, agile or otherwise. That is somewhat more detail than I required. You're the one who brought my pregnancy into this. Prudery really doesn't suit you also. Mother! As the Queen Dowager swept into the room, Carlot rushed over and administered a loving embrace. Her technique, which Orso had long admired, was to treat their mother as if she was being a tender and obliging parent, regardless of her actual behaviour. I'm so glad you came. Your husband is not here? Sadly, no. Carlot flung herself down like a tragic heroine, shrugging off her mother's displeasure with a flounce like a duck flicking off rain. Sotty's got trouble with the assembly again. Sotty's always got trouble. If we eat together two nights a week, we're lucky. If it isn't the assembly, it's the merchants. And if the merchants are happy, it's the criminals. And if the criminals take a week off, it's the pimps. I know just how he feels, murmured Orso. His mother raised a brow. About the pimps? Not that. He thought about it. Well, yes, that. But I was referring more to the demands of power. Indeed, said his mother with withering sarcasm. Still, I suppose we three can dine together. Apart from Cathiel, it will be like having the family back together. There was an awkward silence. Well, and father, said Carlot. Another awkward silence. And him, said their mother. In all honesty, the only times Orso could remember them dining as a family had been the weddings of his two sisters, and even then, His parents had only come within arm's length of each other when etiquette strictly demanded. "Unfortunately, I won't be able to attend either," said Orso. "I have an engagement this evening, but we can dine together tomorrow. With Sotty, too, one can only hope. Then, sadly, I have to go back to Adua. Trouble with the Lords of the Open Council, you know. If it's not the Open Council, it's the Closed. And if the Closed are happy..." "We can't stay longer," snapped his mother. "I wanted to spend some time with my daughter." The silence went beyond awkward and into ugly. Orso glanced at Carlotte, hoping vainly that she might do the hard work for him. She gave a helpless little shrug, batting the responsibility back his way. "What have the two of you arranged?" demanded his mother. He gathered his courage, then puffed out his chest and met her raised chin with his own. "Mother, for the time being, I want you to stay in Sipani."
"Absolutely not."
Her tone was so icy, it was a surprise her breath did not smoke.
"My place is in Adua."
"You're always telling me how much you despise Adua."
"I despise Sipani just as much."
"You love Sipani.
Did you bring me here just to get rid of me?"
"No, even if he had."
"Mother, listen to me."
"I always do."
"You never do."
He brought his voice back under control. "But this time you must. At the demonstration of Kernsvik's engine, you were nearly killed."
"Come now, don't exaggerate."
"High Justice Bruckel was sitting beside you and had his head cut in half by a piece of flying metal. He fell dead in your lap."
"Is that true?" asked Carlotte, wide-eyed. "It will take more than flying metal to keep me from my son."
"Things have got no better," said Orso. "If anything, they've got worse. We have enemies everywhere."
"Then you need me. You need my advice. You need..."
"What I need is to know that you're safe, and Carlotte deserves some time with you." Over his mother's shoulder, Carlotte theatrically rolled her eyes. Orso ignored her. "I've been monopolizing your attention ever since I was born." He noticed there were grey streaks in her hair, wrinkles around her eyes at the corners of her mouth. When had she started to look old? It made him feel deeply uneasy. He had always supposed she was indestructible.
"Are you sure?" she asked.
"I have made my decision, Mother. I hope you will accept it." He had expected a ferocious dressing down, a furious Styrian tirade, or, worse yet, the deadly gliding off followed by days of icy silence. But all the Queen Dowager of the Union did was cock her head on one side and calmly consider him.
"You have grown up, Orso. A bittersweet moment for a mother. One you were no doubt hoping would arrive a dozen years ago. Better late than never. The time comes when you realize the world is not yours anymore. The best you can do is pass it on to your children." She touched him very gently on the cheek. "You understand why I was always so demanding, don't you? Because I know you have it in you to make a great king. Your approval means everything to me. It always has. And there is one thing I need you to do while you are here. One thing with which I trust no one else, certainly not myself.
Name it.
Find me a wife." He counted the points off on his fingers. "I only ask that she be beautiful, tasteful, passionate, cunning, and superbly bred. And Carlotte, make sure she has a sense of humour."
Carlotte waved it away.
"That would only be wasted on you."
A flicker of interest had crossed his mother's face.
"A Styrian bride?
You know as well as I do that they make the best women in the world here. Speaking of which, has our guest arrived?"
"She has."
And Carlotte gave a loud clap. The door was swung open to reveal a tall woman in extremely impressive middle age. Orso had not seen her in 10 years, but she looked every bit as elegant as the day she left Adua. If there was anyone in the world who rivaled his mother for deportment, after all, it was her oldest friend, and far more than a friend, Countess Shalia.
"Orso, you beautiful creature," she said. "It has been far too long." "Countess,
Orso snapped his heels together and gave an extravagant bow.
Or should I say sorceress, since you have not aged a day?
And people say you have no talents.
She clasped his head and kissed him on both cheeks in a waft of perfume that took him straight back to being a boy.
I swear there are no better liars in the circle of the world.
Orso's mother had not taken her eyes from Shalia since she came into the room.
This is a surprise? A pleasant one, I hope.
Shalia raised one brow.
I have been waiting for you for a long time.
I told you not to do that.
Everyone must be disobeyed occasionally.
A naive observer might have thought it an insignificant meeting, but Orso knew his mother far better than that. He saw the slight parting of her lips, the slight glimmer at the corners of her eyes, the slight movement of her collarbones with her quick breath. For her, that was a whirlwind of passion.
Well,
said Carlotte, making for the door and jerking her head significantly towards it.
I have some things to do.
As do I. Orso felt suddenly as if he was intruding on something painfully intimate. Immensely important things. No one acknowledged him. He glanced back as Carlotte drew him through the door by his elbow. Long enough to see Shalia had taken both of his mother's hands, their eyes fixed on each other, unwavering. His mother was smiling, her face lit up with it. He wondered how long it had been since he saw her smile like that, since he saw her smile at all. He had been desperate to escape her smothering influence for years. Now that he had finally done it, he had to push the door shut before anyone noticed the melodramatic quivering of his lip.